In the story of Narnia, this is both the crucifixion and the resurrection moment. And Aslan, the way to look at it is you can't have his resurrection without his sacrifice, that he gave up his life for Edmund. He is both lion and the lamb, much like Jesus is a lion and a lamb. As a lion, in one of the books, he scrapes the scales off Eustace, who has become a dragon. And this is painful for Eustace to have to deal with the sin and to literally have this scraped off with the lion's claws. But it was important because he needed to get this off him. And once it was done, he was free again. As a lamb, Aslan lays down his life on the stone table. He's willing to be the sacrifice so that the one who has sinned isn't the one who's made guilty. And this is the thing with their theology. Theology gets messy when we don't let Jesus be both lion and the lamb. He's both. He's both the sacrifice, and he's also the king. He's also the victor. In verse 12, the angels show up, and this is their message. "This will be a sign to you," they say to the shepherds. "You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So why would this be important to shepherds? And where would they even know to look? In the entire Bible, there's only 5 references to swaddling. In one of the references, it talks about God swaddling his people like they're his babies. In another, God talks about swaddling the sea in clouds. And then in the New Testament, it talks about baptism in the same way, that when you're baptized, somehow you are swaddled in the presence of Christ. But the only other 2 references are in our nativity scene, where it talks about the swaddled baby. Jewish tradition tells us that the swaddling cloth that you would use for your firstborn came from your wedding. Because at your wedding, one of the vows is they would have you go arm in arm, and then they would swaddle your arms in this marital band. This is literally where we get the term tie the knot. And so this symbol for everybody would be the two have now become one, which of course is what marriage is all about. So the cloth, it represents their premarital purity before their marriage. And because Mary was from the line of David, it meant she had royal blood, which very likely, from all the Jewish history I've read, said that her cloth wouldn't have been white, her cloth would have been royal blue. She comes from royal stock. And so if the shepherds had shown up and they saw a baby swaddled in royal blue marital cloth, they would have known this is the Messiah indeed. Perhaps the shepherds noticed this when they approached the manger. It was like the trough and the cloth were in tension between Jesus' humanity and his divinity. The Christ child is gift-wrapped for the shepherds. That's why I call him the first gift. He's gift-wrapped for the shepherds, a sign for you, the angel says to them. Now, while many shepherds deserved a reputation that was a little lower, there were certainly shepherds that were just known as filthy, outsiders, people who went on other people's land with their ranch hands and everything else. That's not true of the shepherds of Bethlehem. That is not true of the shepherds of Bethlehem. The shepherds of Bethlehem were more like priestly shepherds, because the only lambs that they raised were lambs that were meant for temple sacrifice just 2 miles away in Jerusalem. These were special lambs. These were prized lambs. And so these shepherds who were in this area, in this vicinity of Bethlehem, were trying to raise perfect lambs, unblemished lambs, lambs that would be sacrificed in the temple. The prophet Micah talks about the Bethlehem shepherds. In fact, he says that it's at the Tower of the Flock in Bethlehem. It's at the Tower of the Flock that the Messiah will be found. The Tower of the Flock. This was a tower that Jacob built way over 1,000 years before Jesus was even born. His beloved wife Rachel had died during childbirth. And Jacob was so hurt, he had to set up a memorial for her. And so he set up a memorial there in Bethlehem in the fields that eventually became a tower known as the Tower of the Flock. It's the very place that King David watched sheep when he was a shepherd. It's the very place that Mary and Joseph, when they had to go back to their hometown, this was the hometown, this is the area. And maybe it's a good thing there was no room for them in the inn, because that's not where the shepherds were going to find them. The shepherds knew where to look. The Messiah, the sacrificial lamb, had to be in the Tower of the Flock, because that's where the sacrificial lambs went. If you thought you were about to have a perfect lamb, you would bring the sheep into the tower. They would give birth. And if the lamb looked perfect, only then would you swaddle them in cloth and place them in the feeding trough, the manger. You would do this because, of course, when lambs are born, they like to thrash about and everything else. Even one little scratch, it's not a perfect lamb. It's not suitable for sacrifice. So the perfect ones, they would wrap in swaddle cloth and place them in a manger. Maybe the shepherds knew exactly where to look. Maybe they knew exactly where Jesus would be. They found Jesus in the manger, the only famous manger in any of the towers, in any of the fields, in any of the areas. Only in Bethlehem do you find the temple lambs. We know Jesus to be both sheep and shepherd. He is the lamb who takes away the sins of the world. But he's also the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for his sheep. Now the sheep have a shepherd who's willing to be sacrificed for them. He's lion and he's lamb. He's sacrifice and he's king. The angel also says to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there is born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He's here for all people. This is either good news for all people, or it ain't good news. Jesus is here for all people. The angel promised the shepherds, "This is a sign for you. The swaddling cloth was for you. It was in the Tower of the Flock for you, because we wanted you to find it. You are used to seeing unblemished lambs. Now you see the perfect Lamb of God." God always finds a way to customize the story for each of us. And everything Jesus is doing, he's doing for you. He's doing for your life. He's doing for your eternity. He's doing for your family. If you remember that, then you'll always know where to find the Christ child in your life. In the movie, in the books, Chronicles of Narnia, there's at one point where the kids are just trying to understand who Aslan is. In fact, they're a little intimidated. I mean, he's a lion, and they're not sure what to think. And so they're talking with the beaver couple, and as the couple's talking to them, there's at one point where they ask, "Is he safe? I mean, he's a lion. Is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver says, "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver's telling you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he's not safe, but he's good. I tell you, he's the king. He's the king. He's not safe. He's a lion. He's powerful." Think about Jesus that way too. He's the creator of the universe. He's not safe. Nothing about his ministry was safe. Nothing about going to the cross was safe. But he's good. And he's the Savior. He's both lion and lamb. And I think that's what happens when you mesh Christmas and Easter and you put them together. You see this innocent child, but you also see the power of resurrection in Easter. In Narnia, when you meet Aslan, you discover who you are. And in this life, when you meet Jesus, you discover who you are. You also discover who God made you to be. And that's really special. So at one point where Aslan's kind of giving the kids a pep talk, and he finally says to them, "You doubt your value. You doubt your value, how important you are." And then he says, "Don't run from who you are." Christmas is a reminder that when you get the most special gift, it's Christ. He's also saying to you, you're also a valuable gift. You're a valuable gift to this world. I want to tell you a story. There's a dad with twin sons. I don't know why it always seems this way, but the twin sons, they're raised the same way, but they have opposite personalities. One of them is a pessimist, And the other one of them is an optimist. And the dad was always trying to do experiments because it's like you raise them the same way and they experience the same things and it's like their reactions couldn't be more different. And so he ends up deciding that he's going to do a new experiment on Christmas. And when his son is asleep, he goes to the pessimist's room and he puts every present in his room for him. There's video game systems. There's a bike. In fact, he decides to go overboard. He puts a second bike in there. He's got all the toys in there. And he's like, I want to see him be negative about this. And then he goes to the optimist room, and he's also asleep. He's like, this kid always knows how to find the joy in everything. Let him find the joy in this. And he left a pile of manure. It's just a story. I didn't do this to my kids. I don't even have twins, I swear. And in the morning, he goes upstairs and he goes to his first son's room. And when he walks in, he's in the middle of all these toys that he's unwrapped and he's crying. And the dad just shakes his head. Why? Why are you crying? He says, Dad, I don't know what to do with all this. I don't know where to store it all. My friends are going to be jealous of me now. And do you know how much all these batteries are going to cost for all these things? Only a pessimist, right? And we all know somebody like this. We all know somebody like this. And then he hears this noise from the other room, and he goes into his other son's room, and his son is dancing around and laughing. And he says, why are you so happy? What's going on? And he's dancing around the manure. And he says, Daddy, I'm getting a pony. Look, Christmas, there's a lot of gifts. A lot of this is gifts and gift giving, and that's great. But don't forget that Christ is the real gift, which means so are you. You are God's great gift to the world, which is to say you were made on purpose for a purpose. And part of that purpose is to be Christ's gift to the world. A lot of people, they're not going to get to meet Jesus face to face, but they get to meet Jesus in you. In your faith and in your love and how you interact with them, you can be God's gift to them. What a precious gift we can be when we're able to see it that way. Jesus was born for you for a reason, and he gave you a reason to live, a purpose. He died and rose for you, and he calls you to be that gift to the world. Let's pray. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. God, show up and help us be awesome in our families. Help us be awesome at peace. Be with those at peace who are traveling this week, all of our family members. Keep them safe. And help us be good gifts to the world around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.